of Christ. Seek to see their God, that Christ is seated as a where Christ is seated as a right hand of God. Set your mind on things in the world, not on things that are for good. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. As we talk about God, we want to thank you for this privilege of God to come together as your people, to hear from your word of God. We pray that you will minister to each one of us. Lord, you know every single life here, there is nothing that is hidden before you, God. I pray that you will minister to each one of us. If there is anyone here who does not yet know you, that you will open your heart for them to receive you. And if there are many here who know you, I pray for not living in ways that are pleasing to you, that you will convict them by your spirit to the world. And that you will help us to return to come to you and walk in grace. We need your help, Lord. We need your help this morning. So that your spirit will move from us and that you will be glorified in our responses. For Christ's sake, I pray. Amen. I promise every single New Testament letter had a purpose for which it was written. The letter to the Colossians was also written with a specific intention. Paul had to write this letter to the Christians at Colossae because Paul's teaching was quite rampant and rampantly spreading in that place. The Paul's teaching came in different forms. That was familiarism, which helped with strict rules and regulations around food and drink and festivals and man-made rituals. And there was asceticism, which called for severe disciplines that even included inflicting the body. There's also the form of spiritualism that embodies worship of angels, at least viewing as mediators. There are also other layers of mysticism that form mysterious and superior models that set itself above the gospel that Paul had preached. And what these teachings did was utterly devalue and undermine the supremacy and the sufficiency of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And so, in order to refute these heresies, Paul, in chapter 1, declares the supremacy of Christ in creation, in salvation, and also over the church. In chapter 2, he defends the sufficiency of Christ in the light of the false teachings that were going around. From chapter 3 onwards, he calls the believers to demonstrate Christ's supremacy and sufficiency in daily living. Now, he lays the foundation by presenting three realities of the believer. He says, number one, you are raised with Christ in your soul. Number two, he says, your life is hidden with Christ in your spirit. Number three, it says, you will appear with Christ, and that is in Christ's glory. It says these realities form the identity of the believer, and as a result, he calls for a new mentality in the life of the believer. That is to have a mindset, that is to seek the things that are that fulfills the main point of my message this morning, and that is, believers must pursue Having these things in the light of the reality of who we are in Christ, believers who is pursuing praises of things that are abound, in the light of the reality of who we are in Jesus Christ. So with this in mind, let's experiment on what each of these three realities mean. Now they can make us to see things that are abound in our lives. Number one, it is said, you are raised with Christ. Chapter 3 and verse 1. The number one reality is that believers have experienced a spiritual resurrection. We have been raised with Christ. Thus, it is impossible to seek the things of God unless and until someone is born of God. Someone is born again by the Spirit of God. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, the person without the Spirit has not access to the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them. A couple of days back, I was sharing my testimony with other men of the church. They were sharing their testimonies as well, and I was telling them how sure I was feeling, even though I grew up in church, I had no interest in the things of God. I found myself struggling to sit to a sign like this. And I'm thinking that I'm going to say it. Maybe you're missing my interest. I contested even my spiritual people and spiritual things. Because there is no way a person can see the things that are about until they are born from the Bible, until they are born again. Unless they are invaded by the power of God, unless they are regenerated and raised from their spiritual deadness, like Paul says in Colossians chapter before that, in verse 12, it says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised to the faith through faith and the powerful working of God, he raised them from the dead. Let me, before we go anywhere else, let me ask you, friend, are you born again? Have you been raised with Christ? Have you experienced this new birth? If you repent of your sin, and you put your trust in Jesus Christ as the only Savior of your life, you can be born again. And at that very moment, you will be raised to a new life. What we are going to witness in a few moments is a baptism of these sisters, and this brother is a symbolic and a picture of this reality. That they died to their old lives and they are raised to a new life, as Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And he abided therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. Now, the believer, Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 that we read there. He says, since you have been raised with Christ, since this is the reality of your life, since this is the fact and the identity of your life, since you are raised with Christ to a new life, should you not then have new desires in your life? Should you not see the things that are abound? Should you not have new appetites and new passions in your life? Should you not be pursuing things that are pertaining to things of God? Since you have been raised with
kind of say, when the translation says, if you have been written, you have been great, it's not doubting it. But what is the character? It's basically a final saying, this is the reality. Because it's just true of your life, the three things that are about. What does it mean? What Paul says here in verse 1, see the things that are above, that Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Basically, to seek things that are above is the opposite of the awful. In the immediate context, you find a lot of things that Paul talks of as blessing. If you look at verse 5, it says, keep the death, whatever, therefore what is earthly in him, sexual immorality, impurity, fasting, even desire and covetousness, which is idolatry, and so on and so forth. He puts them curses. But who else is to seek things that are above? You seek things that are above is to seek the heavenly, because it is where Christ is. He's in heaven, and the focus of heaven is Christ himself and his glory. I guess so to seek things that are above not only means to seek the eternal or the temporal. It not only means to seek the spiritual or the physical. It means to seek the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the world. Nation, seek the heavenly treasure over earthly treasure, to seek heavenly reward over earthly reward and the praise of people. It is all that, but specifically, it is to seek Christ. It is to know Christ. It is to love Christ. It is to love His character. It is to seek His character in our lives and ultimately seek His glory. That's it. The word seek here is in the present continuous tense. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time thing. It means to keep seeking, day in and day out. It is to seek today and every day. It is not to let a day go by without seeking Christ. It is being consistent in the pursuit of Christ and this thing. It is to desire and long for the things that He desires in our lives. It is being preoccupied with the things that will bring Him glory and honor the name of Christ. So, brothers and sisters, what do you seek? What do I seek? What are our preoccupations? What is it that we are chasing after? Are there things that are from above? Are there things that are only temporal and not true? What are the things that we truly place and treasure in our lives? What are the things that we glory in? Are we seeking Christ? Are we seeking the world? Are we seeking the things of Christ? Or are we seeking our own? Paul is not suggesting that we live like some mystic or a monk who's cut off from the world and the responsibilities of everyday life. If that is the case, he would not be saying what he says in the succeeding verses. Later on in chapter 3, Paul actually gives instructions on how we need to relate with one another, how to be a godly husband and a wife and a godly friend. What attitude we must have towards work. The Christian then is more as in the midst of our everyday, day-to-day things. What is your chief preoccupation? Is it Christ? Or is it something else? If it is Christ, is He respected in every single area of your life? Or not? Is that it? How do we keep seeking the things of God. So how do you do that every day? How do you do that consistently? Or say something they want to be perfected in mind. In order to seek the things of God, we need to set our minds on the things of God. If we can direct our minds on the things of God. Because what we set our minds on is what we will think after. How we set our minds on the things of God? By renewing our minds by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit. And that's what Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, my friend, you know this by heart, it says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, you have to keep seeking the things of God. We need to set our minds on the things of God. In order to have our minds fixed on the things of God, our minds have to be renewed from the Word of God. In Acts chapter 3, verse 16, later on in this chapter, Paul of Acts says that the Word of Christ dwells in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. He says, let the word of Christ listen well. So do we direct our mind to seek the things of Christ? From our mind, by letting the word of Christ listen well to us. Not carefully. It's not like once in a while. It's not when I have the mood. It's not that I'm feeling good in life. Listen to the word of Christ every single day of my life. Let me ask you, brother, sister, how do you hear the word? How do you meditating on the word of Christ? Are you letting the word of Christ dwell in your history? What place does the word of Christ have in your life? There is no way we can seek the things of Christ if we don't set our minds on the things of Christ. And there's no way we can set our minds on the things of Christ if we do not immerse and saturate ourselves with the word of God. That is what we have to do. And if we don't, on the other hand, if we don't set our minds on the things of God, the world is working, the enemy is working, the temptations are at the door to lure us away from God. You can either sit your mind in the face of God or be occupied with the things that are not of God. And whatever you set your things, your mind on, will ultimately direct your life. This is the connection. The things that have been raised have to speak. Set our minds on the things of Christ. I think it's mentally of Christ every single area of our life. We've done the point number one. Number two, I'm not given the use of quality of this. I don't know what it says. You know, when the last thing is not there, people say, I said, do not what. Number three, your life is to be with Christ. This is the one. Your life and manners of your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it also acts as a motivation to keep the things of God above. Paul says, you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ. You have died. That's the reality of your life. In fact, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the reality. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. And that's why I don't seek the things that I want, but I seek the things that what Christ wants. This is chapter 6 and verse 15. As far be it for me to also accept in myself of our Lord Jesus Christ. By this, the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. I have been crucified to the world. To let the desires of the world as they feel, because I do live, I live by faith in the Son of God, so I live with the desires of Christ. But he's not something wrong with you. He says, you have died, and he says, your life is hidden with Christ. Think of your means to conceal or cover in order to protect something. You know, we protect, we hide the precious jewels, we have to protect them from being stolen. But honestly, we are hidden with Christ, which offers to our eternal security. And nothing or no one can snatch us from his hand, as Jesus says in John chapter 1. And how can this work as a motivation to ask to seek things? Because it is possible for believers to seek the things of God in our lives out of guilt, out of fear of losing our salvation. I need to keep doing certain things in order to keep my salvation. But when you realize that your life is hidden with Christ, to know that we are hidden with Christ and that we are eternally secured in Christ, it gives us the right motivation to pursue. And so, brothers and sisters, our life is hidden with Christ. And so may we pursue the things of God, not out of fear or guilt, but with freedom, confidence, and joy and mercy. Going to the third reality of all that's done. He says, you will appear with Christ. You will appear with Christ. This is the reality and the kind of motivation for all that he's calling us to. Verse 4 says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is your life, let's pause there for a moment. He's saying, Christ is your life. It's like sometimes people say, music is my life. When I was younger, I used to say, cricket is my life. And some of you may wonder what it is. It's not a music. It is the best sport on the face of the earth. Faith is sometimes my life, but it seems to be not particular thing. It's my empathy. Particular thing. It's my power. And Paul said that about Jesus. He said, Jesus is looking everything, and that's what he said in Philippians chapter 1, and verse 21. He said, I must live for this Jesus and die. For me to live is Christ, and death is gain. Now, if my entire life in one word is Christ, my purpose is Christ, the goal of my life is Christ, my glory that I run after is Christ. What is it that you and I live for? Can we see Christ in my life? Would you live for us in the same country? For some, it is money. It's the only thing that they can think of, like the moment they become donated. They will live for it in the for some, it is prestige. You know, they will do anything for their honor. For some, it is fame, and for some, it is knowledge, for some, it is pleasure, for some, it is wealth. For some of this possession, it's like, you know, possessing one thing after the other. Or that is what characterizes their life. But can you say, can I say this man? For me, to live is Christ, death is gain. You know, it's very nice to put it as a more substantive or almost as a human life. is that the reality of your life? When Christ rules your life of this, then you will appear with him in his name. I follow him more closely to see the things that I have done. And that is what the believe on. Christian life is in the middle between two realities, this great reality, the cross and this time. We look back to the cross and we see godliness and godly things. I think gratitude as we look back to the cross. We look forward to this coming. And we want to glorify God because of the hope of this coming. This is what Apostle John says in this letter, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Well, so this is Christ is our life, is coming back for we believe. The question is, are you preparing yourself? How are you preparing for yourself? Are you preparing yourself by consistently seeking the things that are available in your life? Some of the things that we run after today, right around in your life, and things that we've been preoccupied with, it's probably not matter at all when Christ comes. Think about it. I think we need to examine ourselves to see what are the things that we truly value in our life. God is convicting us, we need to turn away from them and seek things. Seek things that will last for us. Seek things that are eternal. Because if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are not a Christ, here I truly say this to you this morning. The day Christ returns will be a dreadful day for those who have not put their trust in Jesus. And if that is the way of his dominion, it's right. But today, you can pray to Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus this morning. And you can run to the cross, which is the only place a sinner can find refuge against the wrath of God. It is the only place by which you can find refuge against the wrath of God. If you put your faith in Christ, you can be saved from that coming judgment. And little can say, you are going to be up here, finally, up here, in the morning, and enjoy yourself in the morning for all of eternity. So please put your faith in Jesus Christ this morning. If you have never ever given your life to Christ, we look at them. Lord, my only prayer that many of us will brush this aside as just another gossip that they've heard. They truly will think about the reality of their life. Based on those realities, use their life to teach the things that matter. Things that truly matter in the world. And if there is anyone God who does not know you, I pray that you will continue to work in their hearts. Because it is more worth it, Lord. I pray that you will make that Lord, bring conviction in your hearts and save